an honor tonight to bring the word before you. It's always an honor and a blessing to hear what the Lord wants to say to us through his word. Let's pray for the word tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truths that are in your word, for the power that is in your word when we have ears to hear and hearts that are ready to respond. And we just pray tonight, oh God, that you would just come and speak. Lord, we just pray tonight that you would be honored and that your voice would be heard above everything else in your house tonight. In your name we pray, amen. Well, our title tonight is, For I Know the Plans I Have for You. The beginning of a new year is a great opportunity to reflect on the year that has passed, on the faithfulness of God and how much we have grown, hopefully, in the Lord. How many here have ever made a New Year's resolution and been successful in it? I don't see very, okay, a couple of hands, that's great. Perhaps you have felt defeat as you have set this enormous goal in front of you for the brand new year. Perhaps they have been unrealistic expectations that you have placed upon yourself, only to realize that you have failed almost at the start. Perhaps the failure has come because we have not looked to the Lord and we have not involved him in our resolution. We have not asked him what his plan and his will would be in the upcoming year. Setting goals and growing in self-disciplines, raising the standard in our lives afresh are all good things for us to work towards. Our challenge in this life, though, is that we seek to follow the resolution of the Lord. One of the greatest questions that all of us have asked for sure, perhaps at multiple points in our lives, is this: Lord, what is your will for my life? What is your plan in this situation, in this relationship? In the valley that I find myself in the midst of this difficult circumstance, are you there? Are you listening? Why does it seem so hard to understand your will for where I find myself? Why is it taking so long to be able to hear your voice? And the truth is that we are promised and we are assured in Scripture that God does have a plan for our lives. He has a plan for our past, for our todays, and for every tomorrow. He has a specific call and a specific anointing upon us as children of God. And as his children, we must look to understand his desires and his plans first and foremost in our lives. We must be intentional to fulfill these first in our lives. When I was 15 years old, I attended a youth conference. And at the beginning of one of the messages, the pastor opened up by saying these words. He said, I'm going to talk to you today about what the Lord's will is for your life. And I remember feeling this leap within my heart and this excitement in my spirit, because I had found myself in a season at that time where I was earnestly desiring after. I was earnestly praying and seeking to the Lord to hear his voice, to know what his will was, what his plan was for my future. And to have this pastor say, we're going to talk about what the Lord's will is for your life, I was excited about that. And in my immaturity, I took those words literally, like he's speaking to me directly. Well, I soon found out and realized that the pastor wasn't planning on revealing God's specific will for my specific life. But as he began to unfold the scriptures about understanding the Lord's plan, about understanding the Lord's will for our lives, I vividly remember the Holy Spirit stirring my soul during that message. And this holy desire and this hunger began to stir within me as I began to eagerly desire to understand these scriptures, to understand what God's will was, what God's plans were for my life above my own plans. I began to eagerly desire to understand the scriptures about following after God's will, about setting my heart and my life and my character to be a godly young woman who feared the Lord and who desired to walk in his will all the days of my life. And at that young age, I began to understand that God's plan for my life, it extended beyond my future vocation. God's plan for my life, it extended beyond my circumstances, beyond my relationships. His plan, according to his word, it involved trusting in him. It involved worshiping him and giving him every part of my life at all times. No matter what the journey looked like, God's will for my life was that I would surrender to his ways no matter what was happening in all the stages. And there are times when God will call us to specific vocations. There are times when he will call us to specific relationships, to a specific place of dwelling. God does have specific calls at certain times in our lives. You may be here tonight and you may be asking the Lord to reveal his will to you. You may be in a season where you do not have the insight or the understanding as to why you are in the valley that you are in. Perhaps you are here and you love the Lord, but you have never really asked for his guidance. You've never really asked for his plan for your workplace, for your home, and for your life. And the truth tonight, according to his word, is that he is desiring that each of us would seek out his will and his plans for where we find ourselves. One of the most familiar passages in scripture that speak to us about the plans of the Lord, of course, is found in Jeremiah 29:11. In the NIV, it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And it would be easy to hear this popular and this familiar verse to receive the encouragement that it is meant for, but to stop there. It would be easy to not dig any further than that, because that's a pretty great promise in and of itself right there. God does have a plan for our lives, but he speaks to us about how we are to live out this plan at the beginning of this chapter. The background of this familiar verse, it brings great insight into God's plan for our lives. And in Jeremiah 29, it shows a letter that Jeremiah was called to write, and he sent it from Jerusalem. And it is addressed to the leaders, to the prophets, and all the people, to the priests that Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And Jeremiah writes to these captives as God instructed him to do so. He is endeavoring to reconcile these captives to their captivity. And he lets them know that God has allowed this time of captivity in their lives for a reason. And he gives them instruction as to how they are called to live in Babylon for as long as God would call them to be there. He gives them cautions, instructions, and encouragement. Now we can imagine the mental state of these captives. What is God thinking? What could his plan possibly be by allowing us to be exiled into this ungodly culture, this ungodly place? Does he really have a plan for us in this season? Perhaps they were wishing and lamenting that they could be with the rest of the people that they left behind who were living in some freedom. Perhaps they were feeling a little bit of embarrassment. What are people thinking of me? I'm in this captivity. They must think that I have done this great sin for God to have allowed this in my life. We can imagine all of these thoughts and feelings that they perhaps are going through. And so Jeremiah writes this letter to them to comfort them and to assure them that God has not forgotten them. Verse 4 tells us that God allowed these captives to be carried into exile. God will allow times of captivity in our lives for his purposes. And he reveals his plans of how we are to live during these difficult times. And this plan of God found in Jeremiah 29 that I want to go into tonight, it must be carried out in all seasons of our lives. Number one tonight is build and plant. Verses 4 to 5 of Jeremiah 29, "Thus says the God of Israel, to all whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit." God tells them to focus on building houses and settling into them. In other words, he is saying, don't be focused on the end of the journey, but listen to what I'm calling you to in the beginning of this journey. For the time and the seasons are only in God's hands. The inclination is probably to weep and to lament over the good old days. The inclination would be to reminisce on the easier, on the fruitful times when we find ourselves in a difficult season. But our weeping must not hinder our sowing in this season. Our sorrow must not hinder the joy that can be found in the Lord. You see, it is our duty to ask the Lord, what is your plan for all circumstances and all seasons that we find ourselves in? But it is our wisdom to settle into the plan of God, to settle into the place where he has called us to be, to always build our lives upon faithfulness and serving the Lord with gladness. Verse 5 also says, plant gardens and eat their fruits. We are admonished that no matter what the season, whether it is a waiting season, whether it is a trial or a season of great joy, that we must not allow the melancholy of our situation, the fact that we may not understand exactly what God's plans are, to keep us from working, to keep us from being fruitful and providing the food of the Lord to those around us. It is easy to lament how bad things seem and to retreat from God's place where he has set us. There was that temptation when God's people were here in Babylon. Psalm 137, 1 to 2 in verse 4. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? These captives found themselves in a foreign land. They were tempted to be confused and to be overwhelmed by the ungodliness that surrounded them. And 1 Peter speaks to this principle in our own lives as well. How as Christians, we too are like foreigners in a foreign land. The world's standards contradict God's standards that we are called to in our lives. 1 Peter 1:17, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Do our lives reflect a life of compromise? Do they reflect a life that is just living the same as the rest of the world is? Do we live in a reverent fear, always looking to be obedient to God's plans, to his will, no matter what? We are admonished to build and plant for God's kingdom where we are. And as we submit to God's will and to his ways, as we build upon his foundations, as we labor for his food, as we plant the gardens and eat the food of the Lord, we will live in his peace and in his blessings. Number 2, increase. Do not decrease. Verses 6 to 9. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. The Lord tells them that part of his plan for them in this season is that they increase. Do not decrease, he says. As we seek to know the Lord's plans in our lives, there is a principle of being fruitful and multiplying. There is a principle of increasing our spiritual understanding and our influence to those that are around us. The Lord says, do not decrease, because he understands that there are forces at work against us that are seeking to hinder our spiritual increase, that are seeking to hinder our spiritual influence. Galatians 5, verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? One of the greatest battles that hinders our spiritual increase in this life and our influence is the battle that is found in our minds. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, in the New King James Version, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This translation speaks specifically toward the thoughts of God that are towards us. Our thoughts, church, must line up with the thoughts of God. It is true that we must overcome the battle that wages war in all of our minds in order to increase our spiritual understanding and to actually live according to God's plans. We must overcome the thoughts that contradict His voice, the thoughts that contradict His plans and His word in our lives. When we hear the word of the Lord, when we try and move in His plans, there will be thoughts that will work to keep you distracted, to keep you apathetic, to keep you unbelieving, discouraged, and fearful. After verse 6, he speaks to how we are to increase. Seek the peace and prosperity of where I have set you. Pray for it, he says. And do not listen to the false prophets. Do not listen to the deceitful words that are giving you false direction. We must, through prayer, seek His peace and put on the minds of Christ. We must be strong in the thoughts that God thinks towards us according to His plans. 1 Corinthians 2:16, but we have the mind of Christ. We have been given the minds of Christ, every tool and every authority to tear down everything that seeks to exalt itself above the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, listen, church, the weapons that we have been given, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and we demolish every argument and every pretension, everything that is fake, every lie that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I pray that you would receive that word tonight. We submit our thoughts, every lie, everything that is working against our thinking to take us away from the plans of God, we submit them and we put on the mind of Christ. We are urged and admonished to recognize the negative and contradictory thoughts that are working to decrease our spiritual advancement in following God's plans and being committed to His will above ours. Romans 12, 1-2 tells us to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His perfect and pleasing will. The renewing of our minds, overcoming the battle of our thoughts, it is related to us knowing what God's will is in our lives. We need to crucify and overcome the ungodly desires that are seeking to decrease our spiritual advancement. 1 Peter 4, 1-2, therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. How many here want to live the rest of your life for the will of God? In verses 6 to 9, God directs them to seek peace in the situation around them, to leave it to God to work deliverance for them. They were told to build their houses and to open their doors as well, to be fruitful, to influence where they were. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Wherever God has set us, He is calling us to influence. He is calling us to impact other lives by seeking the success and the peace among the people around us. They were called to be active in this time, to not just sit by the shores of Babylon and to weep and to lament, to reminisce about how good it used to be. But He says, be active in this season, for I have a plan for you in this season. Press on, knowing that God has a purpose for you in the place where He has put you. When we are diligent in putting on the mind of Christ, in seeking and being obedient to God's plans, we can be confident. Church, we can be confident in this, that God has placed us where He wants us on purpose for His purpose. And number 3 tonight, be fully committed to seek his ways and plans. Fully committed, not just partway, not just some of your hearts, but absolutely everything. Let's be those who are fully committed to seeking his ways and plans. Verses 11 to 14, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your hearts. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have driven you, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. God is thinking about his people at all times. Psalm 139, 17 to 18, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. God is thinking about you tonight. God has thoughts towards where you are tonight, towards your future. He has plans for you tonight. We love to be thought of by our friends and by our family, don't you? Don't we? Have you ever said of someone who showed kindness to you, wow, that was so thoughtful of them? We value the consideration of people's thoughts and their actions towards us. And how many know that God loves to turn a bad situation into good for his purposes? Have you ever experienced that in your life? Hindsight is perfect, isn't it? Hindsight is a beautiful thing. We can look back on situations and say, wow, God, when I thought I was dead and alone in that place, look at what you did. Look at the testimony. Look at what God has done through that which seemed impossible. Just as Joseph declared in Genesis 50, verse 20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. I know the thoughts that I think towards you is his assurance to us. We often do not know what is best for us. Can we admit that tonight? Humble ourselves and actually admit we often do not know what is best for us. We rejoice in God's plans. We rejoice that his future is higher than ours, that his purposes are greater than we even know. We must not fear or question the will of God, for his thoughts and every plan, they are not of evil, but they are for a higher spiritual kingdom purpose. And he is working it out. He is refining us according to his plans. When we are committed to seeking his ways above our own desires and our own plans, he says, then you will call upon me and I will listen to you. You know, we speak these words often. This verse has been printed on posters and placards and devotionals and a scripture for the day, a thought for the day. And it's a beautiful verse. And we use this verse often, but the depth of the truth of this verse is not easily comprehended. The depth of the truth of this verse is not easily comprehended by us. His eyes, his thoughts, his actions, his hands are towards his people continually. And some of you might need to hear this tonight, that he has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten about his plans for you, about your future. The Lord is ever mindful of us. And he not only thinks of us, but he thinks towards us as well. That is an act of thinking. That means that he is working towards us. He is moving even when we don't see it. In this verse in Jeremiah 29, 11 that is given to us, it is meant that we would stir within us a spirit of prayer. This verse is given to us that it might stir within us a spirit of faith, a spirit of obedience, and even more than that, a spirit of expectancy. Can you expect tonight that God knows what he's doing in your life? Can you expect tonight that God's plans are not of evil, but he has a beautiful future? He has beautiful hope and plans for you. Hebrews tells us that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You shall find me when your entire heart, when every desire is set upon me, he says. The Amplified Version of these verses 11 to 13. It says, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear your voice and I will listen to you. Then with a deep longing," let the deeper longing be stirred within you tonight, church. "With a deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." God will reveal his plan. He will reveal his presence to us when our hearts are fully committed to seeking his ways. He does not hide his presence. God does not hide his will from us. Proverbs 19:21, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Can you say amen to that? Lord, we want your purpose to prevail, not our plans. Our plans will not bring the breakthrough that is needed. Our plans will not bring the spiritual inheritance that is needed. God, we pray that your purpose would prevail in our hearts, in our lives, and in this church for your glory. And as we close tonight, I'm so thankful that God has not just written a letter to us, but an entire book. God has written thousands upon thousands of letters to us that we might understand his plans, that we might understand his will, his thoughts that he thinks towards us. There are times that you might receive a prophetic word that gives you some kind of a direction or insight into his plan for your life. Perhaps you receive fresh inspiration from a word that you read in the Bible, or from a message that is spoken, or from a worship song that is being sung. The words on the pages of the Bible are meant to stir us to a deeper level of prayer. They are meant to stir us to a deeper obedience, trust, and faith in his plans. I love Romans chapter 8, a familiar passage to us that speaks to how the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, but specifically that the will of God would be done in our lives. Isn't that amazing to think that the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf, teaching us how to pray to accomplish the will of God? He is interceding for God's people, and he is calling us to partner with him in our deepest prayers, that we would diligently and fervently cry out for the Lord's will to be done. In verse 28, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. God is working for the good of those who have set their lives to love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, these people who were in captivity in Jeremiah 29, they were likely to fear that their God had forgotten them. And so in verse 11, the Lord repeats his words. Three times he says that he is thinking of them, that his thoughts are towards them. He is assuring them that not only is he acting on their behalf, but he is also thinking of them as well. There is never a thoughtless action on the part of God. He thinks so much of his people that all the hairs of our head have been numbered. That's how personal his thoughts are towards us. Every action of God is timed and measured. Every comfort is sent with loving thoughtfulness. I'm so glad that God knows what he is doing in our lives. You see, when you are confused, God is not. When you are anxious, God is not. When you are restless and you are desperately trying to figure it out, that's not what God is doing. And some of you might need to be reminded of Psalm 46, verse 10 tonight that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still tonight and know that he is God. He's taking care of you. He knows what's going to happen. Nothing is a surprise to God. When darkness surrounds you, God is light. When unbelief enters your heart, God is always faithful. God is always moving on our behalf. When our way seems closed, God's way is always open. The Lord never forgets his people. for he has engraved us on the palm of his hands and his feet. We are engraved tonight on the palms of the hands and feet of our Lord and Savior. When Moses came out of Egypt, he really had no plans on the march of Israel. He knew that he had to lead God's people into the promised land, but he didn't know what the journey was going to look like. He did not know the specifics of what path to take and exactly what was going to happen. But God had a divine plan for this journey, for his children to enter into the promised land. The Lord knew that they would be surrounded by the Egyptians. The Lord knew that the Red Sea would be in front of them. The Lord knew that there would seem to be no way in front of them and no way behind them. The wilderness, the enemies, the Red Sea was all a part of God's plan for his children. Where there seems to be no way, church, it is God who makes a way, even in the wilderness, even in the deepest confusion and the most difficult of situations. It is God who makes a way. Do you believe that tonight? That God can make a way? That God has a plan tonight for your business? Do you believe that tonight, that God has a plan for your house, for your relationships? He has a plan tonight for the salvation of a loved one. God has made plans for your lives. He has made plans for where he has set you. And nothing can come against the plan of God. Nothing can stop God from moving on our behalf. Nothing can stop the spiritual breakthrough from coming in the name of Jesus. Nothing can stop the peace and the obedience from coming. God has a plan in mind for our spiritual increase. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord over every one of us. So press on tonight, wherever you find yourself, for the way is safe, and it is full of God's peaceful and good thoughts towards us. Let's stand together. As we worship the Lord, I just want to ask you tonight, is God calling you to build and to plant a little bit deeper where he has set you? Is he calling you to increase, to not allow the decrease to come into your lives, but is he calling you to increase in your prayers, to overcome the temptation and the battle of your thought life that contradicts the truth and the power of his word for you? Is he calling you to be fully committed to his plans and to his will? God's thoughts are towards us, and he is refining us. He is refining us, changing us, and shaping us. Charles Spurgeon said this, "You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head." Fresh courage we must take tonight, church. For the clouds that we so much dread, they are full of his mercy. They are waiting to break open over our heads with the blessings of God, with the power of God, with the truth of God. May we be encouraged tonight that God has a plan. God knows what he is doing. Let's step into full obedience and full faith tonight into God's perfect will, into God's perfect plans. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to worship the Lord. If you want, need prayer for anything, we would love to pray with you. Please come. Let's surrender afresh tonight to the Almighty God. Amen.